Oh, and you, what's happening now, so it makes all the more actual what we've been studying of Ayivate Yaakov Levad. Yaakov is left alone. In chapter 32 of Bereishis. So if you can return to the description of Radesla, look at the bottom of the first page of 456. It mentions here, to understand the struggle between good and evil, between Yaakov and Esau, the Midrash brings the discussion between Andrianus and Rabbi Yeshua. Andrianus apparently is Hadrian, and Rabbi Yeshua is one of the great masters of the Talmud. And Rabbi Yeshua said to him, and described the whole Midrash here, question, the Malach, the angel who battled with Yaakov, what was he? One opinion is that he was a Talmud Chacham, appeared to him like a Talmud Chacham. And the other one says he was like an armed robber, brigand. The question is, how was Yaakov able to overcome him? And it says in Vayaki lo yachol lo, when he saw in verse 26 that the angels were not able to overcome him, we don't really know who is the one who won the battle. Was it the Malach or was it Yaakov? Since if I evade each imor, so the impression is, avak also means dust. Who was filled with dust? The man who was with him. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Boy, lecha v'chamisha." He came to you with five merits. Five amulets, his merit, his father's merit, his mother's merit, his grandfather and grandmother. So assess yourself and see if you can stand up to even his own merit, let alone the other merits. When he saw he couldn't overcome him, then he perceived that he's lost the battle. Therefore he agreed in the end to bless him. And similarly, the sages say, we mentioned already last time, if the nations of the world come and attempt to assault the people of Israel, then the Holy One, blessed be, will say to him, even your angel is not able to stand against Yaakov. And you attempt to assault his children? He says, so he struck the ball of his thigh bone. That means he struck the saints, the prophets, who are going to come from him. This is the generation of forced apostasy. And then the ball of Jacob's thigh bone became dislocated. He wrestled with him. Rabbi Loza says the angel flattened it. And Rabbi Brechia said he split as one would split a fish. And Rav Nachman says he dislocated from its place. Then he said to him, please let me go because the dawn has risen. So Rabbi Chanina says, the entire night they were both attacking each other with the shield of one against the shield of the other. Once dawn broke, the angel was forced to plea, let me go, for dawn has broken. So it's like this. It is written, Chadashim Lavakarim Rabbi Munatecha. We spoke about this already. Your faithful is great because you revive the dead for us constantly. From that which you renew us at the dawn of newly emerging empires, we know that your faithful is great. Ultimately, to redeem us. That means, even in our exile, God is protecting and caring for the people of Israel. God will be his promise eventually, and the exile will be removed and he'll redeem us. And when it says here the dawn of the empires, it might refer to the time when they are enjoying the light of their success. But the Jews are suffering the darkness of exile. So as we already explained previously, that all there are two types of angels. Those who are created each day and have only one opportunity, and those who are constant. So the primary function of the angels is to provide us with a model of how to serve Hashem. And the two types of angels illustrate for us two approaches to drawing nearer to Hashem. One is external. It involves being awed by Hashem's greatness and transforming this inspiration to religious zeal. And this requires constant renewal to maintain a high level of enthusiasm. So the daily renewal of angels highlights the value of this approach. It's worthwhile being created just for a single chance to praise Hashem. We could even say this is one of the concepts behind our constant repetitive service, repetitive brachos. It's not to teach us routine, is the opposite. In other words, we should try to introduce the awareness that just like creation we regard as being constant, Hashem constantly renews creation. If we're given an extra day, we should regard that as a new day. And therefore, the way to do it is to try to introduce the power of one's mind and heart anew. You can't, it's very difficult for any of us to do it for all the words of prayer and all the blessings. But you should try each day to select certain new experiences that in our mind there's a constant barrage of all types of thoughts and feelings that come anew, and to link them with some of the words of prayer which we say. For example, when this is indicated by the natural instinct of a human being is, and some even say it's the major instinct, is the desire, is curiosity, desire for understanding and seeing something new. And that's what keeps us going. This is illustrated by all the mass media. They know that if they're going to report things the same way as yesterday, people will gradually not want to read the papers anymore. Because people always want to see something new. Chadashot. Wounded Chadashot. So Chazal say, Hashem Nuchim Etzavach Hayom Al Levavecha, which is a pasuk in first parasha of Kriyat Shema. These words should be today over your heart. That means you take words of Torah or words of Tefillah and you relate them, you can even relate them to Chadashot. I mean, let's say the Chadashot today are that Europe is gradually, seems to be, and today is top security all over Europe against all Jewish places under the attack of terror. And terror is even reaching the ridiculous stage that the terrorist regimes are being represented in the Brussels, no, the Hague, it was the Hague Court of International Justice. They're the ones bringing up their claims. What's their claim? They go and use human beings as shields to shoot, to allow their terrorists to shoot Jews. But it seems that even Obama came up with a statement. He said, the Europeans are wrong in that they're not treating their Muslims with sufficient understanding, as they do in America. So, it's rather, it's an ambiguous statement. Well, he doesn't realize that in Europe, the powers of Daesh are very strong, much stronger than America. There's so many Western people of the underworld who are joining the extremists amongst the Muslims who want to behead anyone who doesn't agree with their particular version of Islam. They're spreading all over Europe. And there's no end to their cruelty. So when we hear such things, I think it gives us more kavana when we say to Hashem, you have to redeem us and you have to create true peace. Mogen Avraham, you are the one who protects Avraham and his descendants. So we can put more fervor into that. So this is the concept of renewal of angels. We need renewal of angel, of angelic powers, spiritual powers, to say, they say a song of praise in front of Hashem, which means we have to say a song of praise. We have to change ourselves for the better. if they develop such murderous aspects of the human character, so we've got to develop constructive and peaceful aspects of character. So, let's see further this description. This one type of angel, the Midrash says. And these angels, they say a song in front of him, and then they depart. So Hadrian, of course, with the cruel Hadrian, nevertheless he had discussions with Yeshua to try to understand the Jews. We know, all of them know the Hadrianic persecutions that were so cruel in the destruction of the remnants of Jewry after the destruction of the temple. But Yeshua used to go to try, in any case, to bring him to more tolerant aspect, tolerant relationship with the Jewish people. And he asked Rabbi Yeshua, when those angels depart, where do they go to? So Rabbi Yeshua said, they go to the place from where they've been created. And from where were they created, he asked him. So he said, from the stream of fire. So he went on questioning, he said, what is the nature of the stream of fire? So Yeshua said, it's like the river Yarden, the Jordan River. It never stops flowing, neither by day nor by night. So Hadrian asked Yeshua, so what is the origin of this stream of fire? They said to him, it's from the perspiration of the angels called the Chayot HaKodesh, which he mentioned in the Tefillah in the morning. And that, according to Rambam, is the highest form of angels, the life power. The life power produces this stream of fire. It's the perspiration. Why do they perspire? Because they carry the Kisa Kavod, the throne of the Holy One, blessed be He. So then, Hadrian had an advisor. And Hadrian advises, he challenged Rabbi Yeshua, and he said to Hadrian, Yeshua said that the Yarden doesn't stop flowing, nor by day, nor by night. And he said to Hadrian, in fact, the Jordan flows only during the day, and doesn't flow during the night. So Hadrian said to support Rabbi Yeshua, I was once watching the Yarden at Beit Pa'or. That's a site on the eastern side of the Jordan River, mentioned the Chumash. Beit Pa'or. Pa'or was one of the most grotesque idols in the ancient Near East, where we know Am Yisrael succumbed to the women of Moab. I took place Beit Pa'or, and I saw that in the same way that it flowed by day, so it flowed by night. It's a very unusual discussion. What does all this mean? Although we were unable to decipher the true intent, the discussion between Hadrian and Rabbi Yeshua alludes to a deep concept. The Yarden alludes to the stream of spiritual inspiration that constantly descends from the upper realms down to this world. Hadrian's advisor was arguing, his dream is not constant, because it ceases during periods of spiritual darkness, when Hashem's presence is hidden. What does Yarden mean? That which flows down, that which is going down all the time from a high level to a lower level. So Hadrian replied, you'd observe that even the Beit Pa'or, which is the spiritual low, equivalent to Israelites sinning with Baal Pa'or, the righteous still receive a powerful stream of spiritual inspiration uplift. Now, this, if you've got the Hebrew text, this is described here at the bottom of page 456. So Rav Dessler here, I have distributed the sheet to you a couple of times, photocopies, so it can follow inside. Go over to page 457. It says, the Nahadi Nur Ba Mizeat Chayut HaKodesh, they carry the Kitzei HaKavod of Hashem. So how would you understand this? It means their perspiration hints at the enormous energy, spiritual energy, of the life power in the world that carries the glory of Hashem through the world. What's the concept chayot? It hints at the innermost spiritual powers and teaches us, שמענו זוכים לעמור קצת ברמת כבוד מלכותו בעולם, אין על האב התפלות יותר מזה. The highest level of energy that can be used by human beings is to raise up כבוד מלכותו, the glory of Hashem in the world. That's what we have to spread, the glory of Hashem, on the highest level. Now the other malachim, apart from these chayot, are created from there. The chayot is basic energy, which comes from those who try to spread the Kvod Hashem, the Kisei HaKavod. And the others, their purpose is liot nitzot echad katan, to become a small spark of this fire. But what happens, the way is that everything on a high spiritual level, it comes and goes. You shouldn't think this stays for long. It goes and goes into external things. Now, ken hu mitbatel klape otzma pnimo shel chat hakodesh. It becomes nullified through the innermost energy, which I suppose which is above the human being. Human beings are given opportunity to experience the spiritual desire to spread Hashem's glory in the world. Rabbi Yeshua says there that this river of fire goes on and on by day and by night, just like the Yarden. But the advisor of Hadrian says it's not true. He says, the Yarden, who says that it goes on flowing in the night? It stops in the night. So Hadrian said, well, I was in Beit Pa'or. So Beit Pa'or, we explained, is the lowest level of the people of Israel reached from the wandering in the desert. When they reached the Yarden, they were about to enter, so Ammon and Moab didn't know how they can stop the people of Israel taking over the land of Canaan, which was also part of their area, adjacent to their area. Ammon and Moab on Transjordan, that now here's the people of Israel come to Transjordan, and we're afraid they're going to take over our territory entirely. So they got Balaam to curse. Balak asked Balaam, please curse the people. He was the greatest intelligence and philosopher and a magician of his time. But instead of cursing them, he blessed them. But in the end, what did he say? I tell you, also, I'm going to give you some advice whereby you can ruin this people. Just get your young, beautiful women to go and seduce them. But to seduce them to idolatry as well. The most, don't want to describe it in plain English, but you can look it up in commentaries. What type of worship is Baal Peor? It's too lowly to be mentioned at this point. Let's look it up. But it was the most degrading form of idolatry. And they got to it, and they were able to entice even the prince of Shimon, Zimri, to also participate in the immorality. And the power of immorality, permissiveness, mixing in with the Hebrew young men, so Balaam already told them, that's the way to do it, demoralize them, get them to intermingle with the non-Hebrew women. That's where you also get them to idolatry. And then they'll no longer be a separate people. They'll no longer be the chosen people of Hashem. He says this is what, and he says to him, this is what's going to happen for Acharit HaYamim. Acharit HaYamim always means before the redemption, or even the redemption itself. That's the ultimate purpose of the time cycle in which we live. And here there's clearly a hint that if it uses the words, I'm going to give you Balak advice how you can make this people into your people. That means as long as they're identified people separate and have a separate lifestyle, they're blessed. There's no way I can curse them. No way you can't curse them, because they're God's people. But I'll give you advice. Make sure they have such a rate of assimilation into marriage that they won't be distinct people anymore. They'll become like the other nations. Because on that level, that's what happened to the 10 tribes. And that's what happens in our time also. The vast majority, even the identified by name as Jews, but they're assimilated. They're no different in their permissive lifestyle than the rest of the nations. And if that happens, and there's just constant intermarriage, or even without official marriage, but intermingling, without any distinctive type of lifestyle, they also won't anymore be a distinctive type of worship of Hashem. They all disappear. They're either, in ancient times, they became idolaters, and then many of them were Christians or Muslims, and today most of them become, like also most of the people in the world, without any religion, no religious distinction, and also no special specific moral rulings. That's what's happening. Now, let's go a bit further here, this description. the what did the advisor say to Hadrian? What he told him was, there are times when the Yarden, really this goes back to a rule you find already in the Tanakh. The geography of Eretz Israel is a spiritual one, not a physical one. And this is shown by a very common word used today. What's Aliyah?
To go up.
Well, if a person comes from the Rocky Mountains, or from the Himalayas, or from the Swiss Alps, that's where he's been living, mountain ranges, and he comes to settle at the Yam HaMelech, is he going up or down?
Up. Down.
Geographically, it's going down.
Geographically, it's going up because he's going to live in the Eretz HaKodesh.
Geographically, it's going down.
But he's still picking, it still applies to Aliyah office. I'm an Olé. I'm going up. You see, in this, modern Hebrew has preserved the language of the Tanakh. That, all through the Tanakh. That's how it's described. And even in Eretz Israel, if you come from the heights of the Carmel, or even the Hermon, and you come to Yerushalayim, and they're higher than Yerushalayim, then you're still, if you come to Yerushalayim, to one of the low places, not Harnof, but you come to Yerushalayim, to Brichat Sultan, a low place, you're still going up. Come Tav Yalita, it says. When you come to Yerushalayim, from other parts of Eretz Yisrael, you're going up. In other words, the highest mountain spiritually will be the Temple Mount. So, because the geography of Eretz Israel is a spiritual one. And I think that's also the Yarade. See, the Yardin represents the concept of giving. The source of the Yain in the hills of Levanon, also comes from the Hermon, and the waters from the fountains goes all the way down to the Yam HaMelech. But once this giving stops, then fertility, because it used to be a very fertile area, but then fertility creates a ground that is so salty that doesn't flow further. It dries up. It gets burnt up even. When giving stops, then the divine power of giving, blessing, also stops. You can even say, we know from what's written in the Chumash, and also from other sources, Sodom and Amorah were a most fertile area. In fact, the area is called the Fertile Crescent. And what was their wickedness? They said, you're not allowed to give. This has to become the area of the rich. And we don't permit poor strangers to stay here. Anyone who looks after poor strangers will be tortured. And when Lot's daughter looked after a stranger who came there, who had no food, nobody would take them in. They also were afraid to take him in. But she looked after him in a hidden place and kept on helping him. So the torture, they decided, they caught her, the secret police of Saddam caught her. You know what they did?
They They filled her body up with honey and left her to be bitten by bees.
That's right. Sting to death by bees. Such a terrible torture. In fact, that's hinted at when Hashem saw this level which they'd reached. So he said, we can't have such a society in the land of Canaan, which Avram has been appointed. He himself selected it to be the place where he's going to teach the world the power of Chesed. That's why it was involved Avram. Avram is such a power of Chesed that he wants him to be his partner in it. And to understand, if you've got such an anti-Chesed society, and that spreads, then all the flow of divine loving kindness to the world is wasted. We have to remove it. Unless there's the minimum unit of society, there's 10. It doesn't mean that saints, tzaddikim doesn't always mean saint, it's relative, it means who are innocent of these crimes. If you've got a million of people innocent of these crimes, that might change. But if you don't even have a small element like that, then the whole area will be turned into a desert. That's where the Yam HaMelech becomes a Yam HaMavet. So this, I think this, or Rav Dessler describes this a bit more deeply. The advisor of Hadrian says, okay, that you're saying that Hashem is always giving loving kindness, but at night time it stops. That means night time, day is considered the time of the revelation of Hashem's blessing. Night time is the time of difficulty, the time of spiritual darkness, where people don't see the loving kindness of Hashem. So he says, who says the Yarden, which comes to the Mayanot, the fountains of spirituality, that flows all the time? It doesn't. There's time when it's hidden, when the world becomes like a desert, where there's let's say it speaks about our times. In the time of the Holocaust, this was nighttime, darkness, desolation. The whole depressive aspect of the suffering. And now it's rearing its ugly head again. Not just against the people of Israel, against the whole Western world, all Western moral concepts that still had a certain power. Even amongst Christians, amongst Muslims, and amongst general civilization, today it's being attacked on all sides, and we have darkness coming over the whole of Europe and spreading also to other places. So that's what the advisor says to Hadrian. Who says Hashem continues his blessing then? But Adrianus said, but I was even in Peor. I saw the lowest level of the people of Israel. And I saw the Jordan continue to flow in the night time as well. That he'll save the Jewish people. Even that time, he says, Hashem brings the influence upon his servants. The life power of Torah and the service of Hashem. And then our enemies, our plilim, today our enemies are criminals. The enemies of people are criminals against humanity and criminals against Hashem. But plilim also means our enemies will be judged. Will be judged to be criminals. Even if the International Court of Peace of Hague, they're now listening to what they regard as, unfortunately, as acceptable representatives of Hamas, and amongst them probably even of Daesh. Who knows what's going on in Belgium today? It's terrible. So when there's the strength of the darkness of the Galut, but our enemies will see they will not be able to destroy us utterly. Enam maslichim lechaloteinu. And that's the deep drash of Chadashim Labakarim. Even the galut, every morning, there might be a night, but we see, as commentators say, new every day. From that we see, v'bokran shel malchiot, when we see what happens to the empires amongst the world that want to destroy us, we still know emunatcha rabba legoleinu. Rabbe munatecha, we trust in you that you will redeem us. What's bokro shel malchiot? That is day by day, boker boker gozrim aleinu gzirot. They come out with decrees against us to destroy us. Whether it's in Paris, or whether it's in Brussels, or whether it's in Berlin, they've always caught some of them, or whether it's in London, we know there's hitchatshut. There's constant power of renewal, that you will help us, and this is the secret of redemption. And this is the explanation of the night of the Galut, through which the Sarosh el Esav ultimately gives a blessing to the people of Israel. He is using every means to weaken us, but by our strengthening in the service of Hashem, in also improving our midot and clinging to the Torah of Hashem, this will bring also the dawn of peace through light of Torah. Any questions? Yes.
I was told that, I don't understand what she was said, that the stream is the perspiration of angels, because Malachim aren't physical.
What? Perspiration is physical.
Right. The Malachim don't have sweat glands. I don't understand that.
The whole language of the angels, which is in physical terms, Mechayos means the life power, Ofanim means the circular wheels, Srafim are powers of fire. No, it's all a language that refers to spiritual beings, non-physical beings. It's the easiest way for us to understand it is this. I once heard from one of the greatest scientists. He was the youngest don in nuclear physics in Cambridge University. He was a frum Jew, even he, a bit of a Talmud Chacham, used to lecture in the yeshiva. Professor Cyril Dom. So he said he was present at a talk on energy given by, I think, the greatest scientists in the world. And this scientist, he asked all this, mainly to lecturers and top people in the world of nuclear physics. So he asked them, can any of you define electricity? What is electricity? Can you define it? Can you tell me what it is? And you could only define it in terms of what it produces. It itself is energy. I mean, Whitehead said it. Whitehead was the greatest philosopher of science for a century ago. So he said the concrete world has slipped through the meshes of the scientific net. In other words, today, scientists, when they speak about energies and they give them names, you know, mass, velocity, and electromagnetism, this is all, the nuclear energy, the energy itself, we know it through the way in which it's expressed in the practical world. Yeah? I mean, what do we need without electricity? But what lies at the root of electricity is energy, which is invisible. But that energy produces heat, light, produces waves. So it's now something which is, shows us that the basis of matter is really energy. And we see it in the world with our five senses. Our five senses see everything, feel everything, hear things, but the basis of everything is something invisible, which ever produces sound, produces matter, produces colors and shapes. So therefore we have a physical world in which we live, and the whole of the Tanakh is really an exposition of this. It's very interesting, the Rambam in its great philosophical work, The Guide for the Perplexed, the whole first section is based upon going through the Tanakh, all the Midrashim, and explaining how they're not to be taken literally. What God has eyes, has ears? No, he sees without eyes and ears. He sees and hears without eyes and ears. And today, when a person dies, and is brought back to life, he'll also describe he could see and hear without eyes and ears. His eyes and ears were physically not working. But he got, in the spiritual world, he got to the spiritual level. So when they have the chayot, chayot is the life power. The life power which exists, we see it in the vegetable world at one level, in the animal world at a higher level, in the human at an even higher level. But the power itself is non-material, the power of life. And similarly also, the power of motion, or fanim. Similarly also, the power of heat and light is really srafim. The kisa kavod is the way in which Hashem, who is spiritual, leads the world. How can we connect with this, we human beings? Through the power of Torah, Mitzvot, and Chesed. Because there's constant, all aspects of the living world is a product of a stream of divine Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing all energies to produce a most beautiful world, and is allowing human beings to benefit from it, to see this beautiful world, God, to praise Him. But He wants us also, since it's given in our own soul, to give us a neshama. What's the neshama? Neshama is inside us. Neshama is the essence of each person's being. But you can't see the soul. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't feel it physically, but it's the basis of you being able to see, of being able to hear, and being able to feel things. Because ultimately that's the base in the Shaman, the spiritual power inside man. And the spiritual power in man connects up with Hashem through prayer, Shivit Hashem Mishni Tamid, through Chesed, where a person recognizes, I've got to be a giver all the time. The power of giving is the power of Chesed. But you can't see that. The essence of the soul is Chesed. And all Torah and Mitzvot are means whereby a person can strengthen his spiritual self, which will remain with him forever. That's the eternal aspect of the human being. But anyway, these talks have been to try to understand what's the meaning of the main word which is constantly being quoted by all the mass media day by day with renewed aspects to it. What is that word?
Israel.
Israel. And Israel is real. It's a reality.